You're listening to Wine on the Vine with Lisa Mayaka, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. Welcome back to Wine on the Vine. I am your shameless storyteller host, Lisa Mayaka, and I am honored. Last week we launched, and all reports are there were thousands of you that tuned in, whether that was by audio or video. And I know we had some video feed issues. Those have been rectified. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And hopefully you're back. Whether you're traversing LA traffic right now, or you're listening somewhere in the Midwest or in the South, because you're hunkered down because there's like 2 feet of snow, or you're on your devices because there's no electric. I just want to give a little shout out. I mean, I know how blessed I am to look outside and see sunny weather in Southern California. I also recognize the majority of our audience is local, but there are people listening all over this great United States, and many of you are suffering. And so I want to send love, peace, reparations, and care and energy your way. For those of you listening in Southern California, please keep these folks in your prayers. Look to American Red Cross, et cetera, for places where you can help with all the unfolding tragedies that are occurring because of the weather. But we're not here for that express purpose. I hope to bring some levity to everyone's afternoon. Our goal in this hour is to provide a guest who has a story that may or may not resound with you, but my hope is that whether or not you know their name, you will find yourself somewhere in their story, because stories connect us like no other means of communication. I have had Steve Jobs on my mind this week for many reasons. One, I got a little plug from one of my mentors in Ohio that quoted him, but I've had some iPhone issues, which are probably more user issues than they are Apple issues. But I'm reminded of one of Steve's famous quotes. He said, "The most powerful person in the room is the storyteller." And quite often that was him, right? Prior to introducing a new product, he had to tell you the story as to why you needed it. But think about that. Stories are inviting. Stories are connecting. And so this week, Wine on the Vine is brought to you by yours truly. I am the sponsor of this week's show. So I'm going to shamelessly self-disclose my website, www.wine.com. W-H-I-N-E on thevine.com. On the website, you will find a little bit of my story. It may intrigue you. It may annoy you. Whatever. Feel free to send me an email on our homepage. I also am available for keynote addresses and leadership trainings. So keep that in mind as you listen to our show hitherto, henceforth, forevermore. But I want you more than anything to know that you are welcome. Whatever story you do or don't bring to our space today, you're welcome. What I want you to hear and leave with is the story that I'm bringing to you. And so we have a theme every week. We have a guest every week. If our guests are ever a no-show, then you may hear a little bit more of my story. That should be fun. But this week, our theme is coming to America, and how apt, right? Because the 1988 Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones classic, air quotes, is being redone or sequeled or whatever you call the next version, coming to theaters March 5th. I'm not here to promote that, but if the studio wants to pay me, I will take their money. But the movie, if you've never seen it, please do. I spent Tuesday afternoon prepping for this show and for my guests to come kind of prepare for the show Tuesday night, watching Coming to America 1. and all by myself with my big screen in my slippers, and I laughed my freaking ass off. I forgot how delightful that movie is, how many characters Eddie Murphy plays. But the story that's conveyed is one that really, truly resonates with all of us. Now, mind you, most of us have never found ourselves in that high place of privilege where every morning our penises, if we have them, are cleaned by the handmaidens in the bath. And we then venture to another country to find true love and do so by embracing poverty and Queens, New York, and all of that. That's a little foreign to most of us. But what the movie taps into is this human desire to find one's true self, to come into one's own, and to venture into what I call the great unknown. And if you follow my blog, which you can also get to on my website, that is the topic of this week's piece, which will be out by this weekend. But that's what Eddie Murphy did, right? Like he came to America to find true love. He had to leave everything that he was known by, all these accolades that were handed down to him, and come to another place where nobody knew him. And he wanted to be loved just for who he was. And so my guest today also came to America because of love, not to find it, it had already found her in her home country, but because of that love, she wandered, followed, ventured into a place she'd never known, into a land where she knew no one. And I am tickled to introduce you today to my guest. So sometimes you will not know the names of my guests. They want to remain shrouded in mystery. Today's guest, however, wants to be famous. And so she said, Lisa, tell them my name. And she thinks by coming on my show today that she's going to become famous. So I'm all in. Like, maybe she and I both will. But let me welcome to my home office here my precious, wonderful guest, Aleda Murcia. Come on in, lady. Hi. This is so much fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to Wine on the Vine.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, are you on? You're on. Look at that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, okay. So, Aleda hails from Colombia. I have known her only professionally and thought that I knew her because of who she showed up as in the professional world. But on my couch the other night, I learned a whole lot more about this gal. And so I'm really curious before I hand the whole show over to you to know why you're even interested. What are you doing here? What are you doing?
Lisa called me and asked me, do you want to be part of this new project and this show? I was like, what is this show about? And she told me, well, I'm inviting people, regular people, to tell their stories. And I was like, of course, because I truly believe that we can be inspiration to others. And I hope by me sharing the story, my life story with you, a little bit of my life story with you, I can inspire you to reach your full potential, because that's the purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
Find your purpose and
okay.
Get there.
Okay, so now we need an entire week because she has so much to say, and I don't want to limit her, but I mean, do you really think we can find our purpose in 30 minutes?
Well, we can start.
Okay. All right. So let's start. Where do you want to start your story?
Well, I came to America when I was 19 years old. So it's a little bit crazy, my story, because, you know, a lot of people come to America for different reasons. And my reason was a little bit weird. I came here for love. So I met my husband, my current husband. We've been married for 17 years, going into 18. And yeah, that's a long time, I know.
No, I'm laughing because you call him your current
husband.
Well, is he right? Well, he's the only husband. Let me clarify that. Okay, my only husband. But I came. I met him. He went to. He was raised Roman Catholic, or he became Roman Catholic. And so, after he graduated from school
in America,
he went to Colombia to do missionary work with the Roman Catholic Church. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. I grew up with my grandparents.
Who didn't?
Right? Because my parents couldn't take care of me. Oh, my. So I was exposed to a lot of things, and my family life was very crazy. So I also found in church that support and that stability, transitioning from childhood to my adolescence.
So it's not my norm to interrupt a story that I know is this juicy and this good, but particularly because you and I both come from the field of social work, I want you to define crazy. Because that's not a word we like to use.
Right.
But it must have some meaning for you. So tell us, if you're willing, what that
looked like. I was exposed to, as a child, to a lot of alcohol use in my house, a lot of verbal abuse, not towards me, but amongst the other family members. So as a child, and in my family, a lot of depression and anxiety, mental health issues. And we never talk about that. We never, that was not a thing. We didn't even understand that was part of the just was part of our normal life. But when you start growing up and you become a teenager, you start like, I don't know. There are things missing here. So I started going to church by myself because, again, I found a church that faith, the support system that I needed. And I'm very thankful that I did that because based on that transition and everything I learned there, I made better choices for myself. I still am a person of a strong faith. I have my strong faith and beliefs. And I think that makes a difference. It has made a difference in my life.
But that doesn't mean that life hasn't been shitty.
Yeah.
Or challenging.
Very much.
Or easily figured out.
No.
Okay. So somewhere in this, so you're 13 when you met him?
I met him when I was 13.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you give them this piece? I mean, we have audio
listeners. She likes all the gossip.
Well, it's not a gossip show, but I feel like these are the juicy pieces that sometimes we gloss over because we don't think they're worthy or we want to clean up the story.
Right.
And my show is not about cleaning up a story. My show is about telling the story. Gore and all.
Yes. Well, one of the interesting things, and when we can see a difference in culture, is in Colombia, it was very normal at that time. And we're talking about 17 years ago. So things have changed. 17, 18, 21. I have been knowing my husband for 21 years, but it was normal for you to date somebody who is much older than you. My husband is eight years older. So he was over the age of 18 when I met him. And when I started dating him officially, I was 16, but he was already like 24. So there was a big difference. But again, in my culture, it wasn't like a big, big issue.
And he had been, okay, so he came to Colombia as a missionary.
Right.
Sorry for the snort. And he found you.
Yes. And then he had to make a decision I'm going to be a priest in the Catholic Church and the Roman Catholic Church. Yeah, because that was, he was exploring that possibility. Or I'm going to marry and have a family. You know, as you may know, or you don't know, in the Roman Catholic Church, you can't do both. You can't be married and be a priest. So at that point time, he made the decision, I'm going to marry, I'm going to have a family. So he left.
And he met you.
Well, he met me, yes. But at that time,
what other choice did he have?
Right. So he came back.
Elena, Jesus. Elena, God.
Well, he came back to America and continued with his life. And we started developing a phone relationship. It wasn't even online because we're talking about 17 years.
Pre-online.
Right.
Okay. All right.
We didn't have of the beauty of this technology. So it was over the phone, phone calls. We developed a beautiful friendship. And then we started dating. He would go visit me to Colombia every 6 months. You know, he would work really hard here, save money, go visit me until he got to the point that, like, hey, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Would you marry me?
But Elena, you're born and raised in Colombia by grandparents, not your parents. In Colombia, they graduate high school at 16. They enter university. You learned English. Any other languages?
Yeah. Yeah. You learn other languages from kindergarten.
And I was fascinated to find out what the curriculum looks like compared to American curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Very
Speak
different.
To that real quickly.
Yeah. For high school, for example, here my son is going to start high school next year. Next school year, he's going to have six subjects. Over there, you have 14 subjects with 14 different teachers. So it is, yes, it is very different. And we don't, the resources are very limited. So you go to school either in the morning or the afternoon. So morning people go from 6 in the morning to 12. Noon, in afternoon people from 12 to 6 p.m. because again, there are not a lot of buildings, so you have to make it work. So I was the afternoon people. I did my entire high school from noon to 6 p.m.
What did you do in the mornings?
Homework, because you have a lot of homework to do when you have 14 subjects.
And you lived with your grandparents?
Yes.
Was there even time for recreation or sports or dating or anything that...
There was no time for that. One, the lack of resources. I grew up in a family with limited resources. We didn't have a lot of that those opportunities. But also my desire, and this is, I would like to share with all of you, my grandma made a huge difference in my life because growing up, she didn't have the opportunity to go to college. She even graduated from high school. But she always told me, Aleida, you have to go to school. You have to graduate. That's the only way you can break this cycle of poverty. And she was my therapist because I have that ingrained till today in my head.
And how far have you come? I know the story has yet to be told, but I think you just earned another notch on your educational and professional belt.
Yes. Yes, I did.
You have high school, college, master's, and licensing.
Yes. I recently became a licensed social worker, clinical social worker, so I'm very proud of
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations.
Fortunately, my grandma is not here anymore for me to share that. But I always honor her memory by pursuing my education because I know that's what she wanted me to do.
And I was surprised to learn, and it might not surprise anyone listening because you're more informed than I. But in Colombian culture, the females or the mothers or matriarchal position in a family holds a much higher position or influence, if you will, than the patriarchal does. Is that right?
Well, it is. It is right. Yeah. And sometimes it is like when you talk to Colombians and husbands joke about, oh, my wife is the boss of the house. Well, it's kind of true. It's kind of
Are
true.
You the boss of your house?
Well, I'll try to, but I have to share my Johnny the power there. He's not Colombia. And that was part of the interesting story. When I come here to America with my Colombian self, the only thing that I know is being Colombian and being around Colombians. So I come here and I find that difficult to fit in with everything here is different. People talk different. Even people who speak Spanish, they are different from me.
Say more. What was different?
For example, my family is from Central, my husband's family, they are from Central America. So they are from Honduras. Born in Honduras, raised here in America and in East LA. So they have a lot of Mexican influence. Mm-hmm. So they're like a mixture of a lot of different cultures. But when I came, the way they talk was different. I would say words that for them, it was disrespectful. What did I use that? But in my country, that was okay to say
Such
that.
As? Can you give an example?
Oh, you know, because
oh,
my
we
kids,
can say anything on
but
this.
My kids are watching the show and they're going to give me a time out when I get back home.
I remember going to Ukraine for the first time and I had a colleague with me. This was like a missionary thing. And she used the word sukra, which she thought meant sugar. She wanted someone to pass the sugar to put in her tea. But in Ukraine, the way she said it, it meant bitch. And she said it to the waitress.
Oh, my God.
So, like,
well,
that happens.
That happens. And that's when you come from a different culture and you don't know. And you only been exposed to your own culture. Not only that, but the food as well. Like, we don't eat tortillas in Colombia. So when I came and they gave me tortillas, I don't like tortillas. And they're like, oh, you need to eat this because this is what we eat here. So it was just very difficult. Very difficult and very challenging being here by myself, not knowing anybody. Well, I had my husband. And he is an amazing person, and he had always been, but people ask me, like, what would you make that decision to come here by yourself at 19?
Why did you make that decision?
I didn't know, because I was crazy.
Well, and you didn't just move in with your husband, you moved in with his mother.
Yes, everybody told me, you know, that's the first thing they tell you when you get married, please do not live with your mother-in-law, don't do that.
Write it down.
My husband told me, you know, my mom is a very nice, of course, his mom, a very nice lady, she's gonna, you know, help you because you're gonna be by yourself. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to be by myself in a house in a place that I don't know. So I came to live with her and him, of course. It didn't work out well. So it was really, again, he wasn't ready.
That's for one
me.
Sentence that covers a whole bunch of stories we might not be able to tell today.
Not today, but
another time.
Okay. I'll tell you. Okay. So we had it was everything. Me, like, trying to learn the culture, trying to accept that my family is not here anymore. Like, my friends are not here. My church, that was a very constant thing in my life, wasn't here anymore. So it was hard to process that. And at the time, I didn't have the support. I didn't know, oh, let's go to the therapist. Let's go to a support group to talk to somebody.
And you were 19?
I was 19, taking it all in, processing with my pillow and just moving on with life. Okay.
Write that down too. Processing with your pillow. That is a therapeutic intervention we don't talk enough about.
Right.
Okay. So I might have a whole show called Processing with Your Pillow. I love that.
So I had to, and this is the thing, when life is, I made the choice to come. I can't blame anybody. Say, oh, because of, I made the choice to come because I was in love and I prayed and I thought that was the right thing to do.
Sure.
But it was hard. So when I came and I faced all those challenges, I had two choices. Suffer and cry, and oh my God, it didn't work out. My mother-in-law was not the person my husband told me she was going to be. Or America is not the place he told me, like Disneyland everywhere.
They have tortillas.
Right.
That they
don't have empanadas. They don't have arepas here. Oh my God. I had that choice or embrace and just move forward and find the opportunities, because that's the great thing. America, and that's why so many people want to come to America, because it is a lot of opportunities.
Do you think that's still true?
It is still true, although we're going through a lot of difficulties at many levels. But I recently went to Colombia and saw how people are struggling there with the COVID-19. And I come to Americans, this is heaven compared to what other countries are going
through. Say a little bit more.
Because
last week, let me just interject. Mm-hmm. Last week's theme was angry with God. My guest had all the right reasons for being angry at God. I introduced the show from my superficial, stupid Lisa self, and I talked about being angry with God because of all the troubles that the pandemic has brought our way. You have a different perspective.
Yes.
You've been to another country.
Right.
No vaccines?
No vaccines as of right now. And we're complaining that we don't have enough here, but over there, no. People don't go to the hospital. People get sick and they don't go to the hospital because if you go to the hospital, they're going to let you die. And it's because there are not enough resources. So there are many opportunities here in America. And one of them, when I came, when I was 19, was education. I was like, oh, I can go to high school. I had graduated from high school and had my associates in journalism from Colombia.
But you had to get a diploma when you came here.
Yeah,
American diploma, right?
I brought all my transcripts and I
said, here, look at me. I'm highly educated. Our system said, yeah, prove it.
And they approved me. They gave me a high school diploma here in America. And then I went to Chaffey College to start my degree. I didn't know a lot of English. I knew how to write and how to read, and I understood a lot of English, but I couldn't communicate. I mean, I still have an accent, but I can communicate now with all of you. But back in the day, no. But I was like, I don't care. I'm going to go to college. I remember my first classes. I didn't even understand what was going on. Well, I understood, but I couldn't communicate back. But I took it in. I feel like it was the right thing to do. So I got my associate in at Chaffey, transferred to Cal State to get my BA in psychology.
So wait a second. Your journalism degree did not transfer here?
It didn't because of the language. At that time, I couldn't. I was not able to speak English fluently to work in that area.
In that field. Was that your desired field?
Well, actually, no. Okay. I did it because it was a great opportunity in Colombia. But I wanted to be a therapist. I wanted to help people. I want to change the world. So I went and got a BA in psychology. Nobody told me that. You can do anything.
Nothing with a bachelor's in psychology.
So please, people,
do not get a bachelor's in psychology unless you have a trust fund.
Yes.
Or a fellowship.
All the way to your PhD.
Right.
Yes.
So Elena and I have this in common. I too wanted to be a journalist back in the day. And I don't know if it was because Oprah was kind of coming on the scene and who was the other one that I just idolized? And then there was Barbara Walters, and I could see myself. So I don't know if I wanted to be famous, but I could see myself doing what you and I are doing right now, like sitting in front of a camera, having a conversation, inviting the world in, and addressing things that matter.
Right.
That was all I wanted to do. And I felt like journalism was my way there. But of course, I reproduced and had babies instead. But you couldn't do anything with journalism when you came here because of the language.
Right. But it was an opportunity to explore something that I always wanted to do.
Psychology. And then find out
you have to work to study to like 20 years to have a actually be able to do therapy. But again, an opportunity. I got my BA in psychology. I did some work for a nonprofit organization over there. I met a wonderful licensed clinical social worker, and she told me, why don't you go back to school and get a master's in social work? I'm like, what is that? I didn't know. But again, I'm very resourceful. I started reading about it, and I went to Cal State San Bernardino, the website, and they had, we have the Title IV program, which is a scholarship. It's a stipend, but it's a scholarship. Social workers and child welfare. And I'm like, I don't even know what child welfare is, but I'm going to apply for that because it says there that you're going to be able to help families and children. And that's what I want to do. So I did it. I applied. I got it. $40,000. They paid for my master's. And then I went to do a beautiful work with the Department of Children and Family Services for 7 years in San Bernardino County. Loved that job. Very challenging, but I loved it. And then
what did you love about it?
Being able to help people who are struggling, going through. You remember when I told you I grew up in a crazy family? Well, there are a lot of crazy families there for many reasons. And some reasons are not even because the people, it's just the circumstances, the poverty, the area where you are being raised, and the trauma that you have gone through in life, and being able to give back to the community to help you. I was like, I was there. I could have been one of you, but look at me. I was able to get out of there, and I'm here. So that was a beautiful opportunity.
Thank you for sharing that. I have always said, and this is kind of my reason for existing, that given the same set of circumstances, we all could end up in the exact same place.
Yes.
And so there is this notion of privilege, there's this actuality of privilege, there are opportunities that come to some of us, but not all of us.
Right.
And had the same opportunities been available or taken away from, I think this is why we have to, this is why the seat next to me is open, because everyone's story is valid. I have no reason or right to judge or be better than or think that anything I have achieved or you've achieved in life has anything to do with us. We've been given some opportunities and not everyone's been given the same opportunity.
Correct. And that is true. And it is hard. And I was sharing with Lisa that after I went back to Colombia, we talked to some friends, other mm-hmm. professionals who are in mm-hmm. Colombia, who are working really hard there. And we're creating a nonprofit organization.
What?
Yes, we are.
From your trip just 2 months
yes.
ago?
I always had in mind, like, I want to give back to the community. That's
sure.
my idea.
Sure.
But when I went there and I saw so many children who are very smart, very intelligent children, but they don't have the resources. They don't have the motivation. They don't have the opportunity. So I talked to my friends. It's like, let's do something about it. Because I went to America. I was able to experience all these wonderful things. I want to use that information and that knowledge to help give back to the community. So we're creating a nonprofit organization. Hopefully, and you can invite me in
to tell you more about it.
Right. But we are in the process.
I didn't even really
yes.
know.
And this is 2020 was a very challenging year for everybody, but it was for me as well. A lot of things happened in my own life. Again, I would love to have the time to tell you all about it.
Elena needs her own show.
Right?
That's the bottom line. She wants to be famous. She needs her own show. Y'all help her out, okay?
Yes. Right. And one of the things was 2020, I left my child welfare job and embraced other opportunities. And I'm teaching for a university now, inspiring other social workers. So those people who are trying. And it's an online school. And I'm working with adults who are, after many years, having kids and why not, they're going back to try to get their degree. And I'm there inspiring and helping them. And with a nonprofit, that is our mission, to be able to go back and give back to these kids and make sure they pursue an education. I can see the difference that it made in my life. My faith and my education has made a huge in my life and my family, like yeah, my kids yeah, and I know their generations, the other generations.
Okay, so I have a few follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can get out in our 15 minutes of fame that's
okay.
left for us. So okay, so I'm an educational slut. If you pay me, I will study. I feel like we both kind of landed in social work and went, I don't know what that is. Because I didn't know, my dad's a social worker, but I didn't give a, I just cared that there was food on the table. I didn't know what it was that mm-hmm. was. And I heard that. And I've had many people outside of the world of social work, like they're business people or what have you, look at me when I say, I'm a social worker, when I was a social worker, and go, what's that? It sounds like you kind of had the same, oh, I don't know what that.
Right.
Right. So what do you make of that? Because the whole social work profession is relatively new, like 1915, 1916.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting because now that I'm teaching others and trying to teach what the social work profession is, because there are many ideas out there that people who take kids and
to foster care
and things like that. But uh-huh. we're more than that. But mainly people who really care about others who are here because we know we're never going to be rich. Probably not famous, but we are able to make the difference. And I think that is very, right now in this world, that's what we need. People who kind of say, okay, I'm going to give a little bit of my own self to help others to reach their potential.
And I want to kind of add or tag onto that, because one of social work's primary values is that we respect a client's right to self-determination. And so we see our role when we're in the social work role, which we're not right now, but I kind of see my role in this space the same way, that we're here to come alongside and be with, as opposed to be over, be under, tell. Like, it's different than therapy. It's a come alongside.
Right.
But bottom line is, one of the top values of the National Association of Social Workers is the client's right to self-determination. So whatever you tell me you're looking for, hope for, desire, like today, Elena wants to be famous. So I feel like my job today is to help her become famous, whatever. I don't even know how we do that, but I'm trying. We got our faces done. We've been like social mediaing the heck out of today's show, but like that's who we were in our social work role.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you're carrying that social work value into your nonprofit. You're not going down there to change them.
No, I want to give them an opportunity, and they these children, of course, they're gonna make their choices, because I've seen a lot of people too that have the opportunities and they made the choice, this is not for me, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to college, but I want to be able to offer that opportunity to a lot of children that maybe they're waiting for it, but at the end of the day, we all make our own choices and our own decisions.
Well, and our choices can only, I had someone say this to me once, your choices, Lisa, are limited to your realm of knowledge and understanding.
Right.
So when our world is this small, this is where our choices can land.
Exactly.
But when we broaden those opportunities, we're not here to tell them what to do. We're not here to tell anyone what to do. Uh-huh. Your choices are yours, mine are mine, right? But when we are given a broader range of opportunity, then, you know, the world opens up.
Right.
And children that you see in another country that have not had these opportunities, this is a glorious place. So, oh my goodness, I get fired up here. I just listened to a podcast, Brené Brown's podcast. I don't know if it was her Dare to Lead or Unlocking Us podcast 2 weeks ago with Melinda Gates. But I feel like your heart is very similar to hers. Your position in society might be different at this point, but once you're famous, you know,
that all is going to be taken.
All going to open up. And her point in the podcast was, and she's been to many a country, none of which she came from, you have this very salient connection with these people that are
yes,
your own people.
So,
yes,
own people.
Yes. And you know them unlike any of us. So, but she said, you know, when we sit in those positions with ones that we think have less than or don't know as much or what have you, we're really looking at it the wrong way. Instead of becoming humble and sitting to learn what it is they want.
Mm-hmm.
And once we learn, and what Aleda's done is, and mostly because of her upbringing, is she knows what the people are wanting and longing for. It's not that different from what you were hungering for.
Right.
And you just had this like glorious opportunity because of love and a mother-in-law to come to America.
I know.
And experience. Did you hear what she said about our profound difference in high school education, yeah, as opposed to what is offered in Columbia?
Right. It's very different. And that's when I see these kids trying to go online. Right now, the teachers in Columbia use, I don't know if you are familiar with the WhatsApp application. It's a messenger application. That's how they're doing school in Columbia right now. Most of the kids don't have it.
On WhatsApp?
Yes. And you have 14 chats for each class. And the teacher has like, I don't know. Yeah, you can't even imagine how that is possible. And I see these kids with no electricity, no water. They're trying to do homework because they want to pursue an education. And this one, my heart is like, we need to help them because they want to do it. They just don't want to be poor the entire life. They don't want to use drugs. They don't want to work in this. They want to do something, but they need that opportunity. And that my mission and my colleagues, and hopefully we get more supporters out there who wants to join us in that mission. And we not only think in our Colombia, I'm thinking Colombia because that's my home country. Sure. But my husband is from Honduras, so yes, we are already planning on opening the foundation there as well to help them. Because again, all this, we are going through the same countries. We are going through the same issues, social issues.
So I have a really important, I'm like sitting on the edge of my seat.
It's funny. And I can't say any bad words because in my home, we don't use that language.
You're in my home.
Because I grew up in a family which every other word was a bad word. So I had to prepare my kids when they went to Colombia.
You're going to hear
what you never have heard in your life. Because my husband's family, they are very well put together. And my husband too. So I learned this, oh my chicken nuggets. So every time I'm like mad, I was like, oh my chicken nuggets. And it is really funny because of course I don't want to tell my kids, don't say bad words, and they hear me saying bad words.
My chicken nuggets is your.
Yeah, then when you hear me saying that, it's because I'm going crazy or mad. And it is funny how to do a lot with my growing up. My family used these words and even to refer to one another. And I was like, when I grow up, I don't want to use that language because sometimes it could be very hurtful. I mean, sometimes it's
okay.
Fine.
All right, time out. Say, oh, my chicken nuggets in Spanish.
It doesn't translate well. That's the point. It doesn't translate. You can't translate that to
all right,
Spanish.
What's your famous Spanish swear word?
Déjese de pendejadas.
What'd you call me?
No, you didn't call me anything. Again, I don't even know how to translate. But I know for Mexican and Central American people, that word is very rude and disrespectful.
Oh.
And for us, it was...
Get out of here. Ouch, you're done. I'm done with you.
For Colombians, we don't see it. And so when, déjate de... Even with my kids, and when they are saying things, nonsense is pretty much the...
What was the most ridiculous thing that you saw or watched or heard happen in America that made no sense to you as a Colombian native?
I think sometimes the love for animals, like if people go overboard with, you know, like they treat animals. I love animals. We have two pets too. We used to have more, but we couldn't take care of all of them. But sometimes people just go overboard. Like they treat animals like kids, like little kids.
Uh-huh.
With their strollers and their cribs. And so when I came here, coming from a poor country where actual real kids, human kids don't have that.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, these people are going crazy. Yeah, for me, that was like, oh.
A little over the top.
When there are people, kids that don't have that.
Yeah.
And now I got more used to it because I've been here for 17 years and I know that that's normal. Like people have, again, coming to America is a blessing. You have the blessing. You're so blessed that you can enjoy those things that other people can't. So, yeah.
What do you think life would have been like had you not come to America?
I always question that. And sometimes when, especially when I had those moments of crisis and when I was depressed and sad, I would say, I wish I never had come here. I wish I would stay home. I miss my family. I miss my food. I miss this. I don't know how it would have been. But what I know is that life gave me a great opportunity for bringing me here, and I understand the purpose of it. It was with a purpose, and the purpose is for me to become the person who I am now and being able to help others and being able to give back and inspire other people here and in Colombia and anywhere, actually.
Mm-hmm. I was in a Lyft, Uber, Lyft, so my Jeep... named Pearl, that's my Jeep's name. She had to go in for service day before yesterday. And I walked back from the dealership, but then the dealership said, we're sending a Lyft driver. So Lyft driver went to the wrong address, called me, then he made it here. And then I hopped into the back seat and he was listening to a podcast. So I'm like, oh, who's that? And so we talked for a second. I'm like, oh, I have a show. And he's like, really? And I said, yeah. And I told him about my show. And I said, so Thursday's topic is coming to America. I have a guest who was born and raised in Colombia. And he went, he almost like drove off the side of the road. He said, I'm going to Colombia for vacation in 2 weeks.
Been
to Colombia, right? And he liked our Instagram page right away. And I hope he's tuning in today. Thank you for the safe ride. Thank you for the conversation. But what is there to do recreationally?
Oh my God. Well, first thing you have to hear why you should go to Colombia is because money triples. So you're going to be rich. If you want to feel rich, you go to Colombia.
So you have to come to America to be famous, but you go to Colombia to be rich.
Because you're never going to be rich.
Okay.
My previous supervisor went to Colombia for a wedding and she said, oh my God, I felt so rich later because everything triples and it sounds millions, millones de pesos. It sounds like you have millions, right? That's one practical thing, but also the food is delicious and the places to go. There are a lot of places to go there so you can have a wonderful vacation. I know sometimes people are concerned about the social issues and we had a lot of violence back in the day, a lot of issues with drugs and all of that that did happen. But it's a very safe place and you can have a wonderful, wonderful time. The weather is fantastic. So I totally invite you to go to Colombia for vacation. Very affordable too.
I think that's a wonderful place to end this show.
Alita, we're going to go to Colombia.
Yeah, we're going to be famous and we're going to go to Colombia. Alita Murcia. Is there anything else you want to say before our time
is up? I just
want
to give you thank you for inviting me to the show.
Of course.
For allowing me to share my story with all the people who are watching and listening. I hope you can learn something from it. And remember, we have to take the opportunities. Every challenge is an opportunity for you to be better, for you to grow up, and for you to reach your full potential. So thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. I'm, again, thrilled to have you. Thank you, Alita, so much. You can hear more about future shows. You can download today's show and past shows on my website, wineonthevine.com. I am posting a blog in a day or two about the great unknown, about this whole foray that Alita has introduced us to today. I welcome you back next week. We will have yet another guest and it's still in the works. So a little bit of mystery there. You never know who's going to show up or what's going to come out of our mouths.
It's going to be good.
But please, if you're interested as well, go to my website, wineonthevine.com. Send a little email. We'll be in touch. In the meantime, be safe, be well, and thank you so much for your time.
You're listening to Wine on the Vine with Lisa Mayaka, only on LA Talk Radio.